Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. It's February 5th on The Roman Show. We'd welcome you to call in tonight as we will have open lines along with five incredible guests that will have you talking tomorrow morning. The Roman Show welcomes Roderick Strong. We all know him from Ring of Honor. Also, Cooter Bocephus, who will be competing at the CWF event in May. Joseph Dark Knight Creer, who just won the XFC tryouts. And Fred Bell of Judo Kickboxing, a group who is dedicated to teach Cubans in their native lands mixed martial arts. And lastly, Justin Pablo Marquez, an ECW veteran, a former ECW competitor, will be calling in to talk about a recent show that will be a show that will be taking place later this month, featuring none other than the homicidal, suicidal, genocidal Sabu. This plus much more. Make sure to call in 71482.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready. You're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off in space.
Booster. Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go.
Fire.
Guidance.
Surgeon.
Go. Blade.
Gone.
We're going. Flight.
GNC.
We're going.
Down here.
Go.
Control.
Go.
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 FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go. Flight.
Launch control. This is Houston. We are go for launch.
The Roman Show.
With your host, Rodolfo Roman.
Welcome, everyone. It's February 5th on The Roman Show as we get this thing going. On the other and all the way from South Carolina, none other than Joe the Reporter. Joe, what's going on, my man?
I'm up, Roman. I'm dropping down the temperature, but it's pretty good over here.
Yeah, I know that you guys had snow last week.
Yeah, it was more of icy, snowy, but it was more icy rain. But it made the road kind of slick, you know, for people that doesn't know how to drive in those kind of situation. But I managed.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't compare it to the beautiful weather that we have down here. Today was in the 80s. So,
well, besides talking about beautiful weather, I found out last night that there was an earthquake close to Cuba.
Yeah, just about 100 miles away from it. Yeah, it's actually the second time recently in the recent months that they have felt some sort of tumbler over there in Cuba, believe it or not. Well, I mean, not so long ago. Remember, with 2010 in Haiti, there was a big major earthquake. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Not too far from Cuba, too.
Did you felt anything, or?
No, not here. We're good. We're good.
Well, because
I know
were
something
saying that they were feeling it all the way from to Naples. They were saying that they were feeling the tremors all the way up to Naples.
Huh. Quite interesting. We got to get a geologist out here to really rectify that, because that'd be pretty interesting in what type of effect will happen in Florida. But let's talk some darn news already.
All right.
Here's something that's definitely going to be shaking up the United States in just a little bit, and that's when George Zimmerman steps inside a boxing ring to fight the man they call DMX. It's just been reported, folks, that DMX has been scheduled to box George Zimmerman. Now, DMX has promised to massacre Zimmerman in the ring if he gets a chance. Well, he is getting it, according to the promoter, Damon Feldman. Now, they haven't come up with a place, a date, or time. However, DMX has said that he is going to break every rule in boxing to make sure he will F him up. And then he says that if he has the chance, he will literally urinate on George's face.
I heard that. I started laughing.
DMX. Now, here's my thing. Originally, the game was interested in fighting George Zimmerman. And honestly, I think the game would have had a better chance. DMX has been on the ups and downs. He's not the type of person, I would say, that is always sober. Zimmerman has apparently been training hard for a couple of months now. And you also have to take into consideration that Zimmerman is 30 years old. DMX is 43. And again, take into play the fact that DMX is not your sober guy. The guy, I've seen him on several videos here. I don't know what the heck he is on, but he is definitely on something. He has admitted to himself. And
no.
I think the game would have been a better opponent for Zimmerman.
Now, is Zimmerman going to get some money out of this, or is this
of
just
course.
Falling?
Of course. This is at a time when, you know, guys like Zimmerman or the Octomom, they need some cash.
Exactly.
So it's pretty simple here. It's pretty simple, all right? Either you do porn, which Octomom did that, or you do a boxing match.
Get your butt kicked.
And Zimmerman, I don't think, of course, I don't think anyone would pay for it or do porn. But, you know, who doesn't want to see Zimmerman get his face punched in the face? You know, so people would pay some money to see this guy get inside a boxing ring and get his face punched a couple of times. I'll be curious to see it.
And
you know,
this is going to be something that is going to be sanctioned?
Well, you know, they kind of have these exhibition rules where it's going to be three rounds.
Okay.
Maybe three rounds, 2 minutes apiece, so it'll be a total of 6 minutes and a minute in between, perhaps, I would say, or 3 minutes. It could be 3 minutes a round. I don't know. I can't really tell you the exact details, but I will tell you this, that, yeah, there is several rules. It's not like professional boxing. It's kind of like
No, I know that.
You know, it's not full-blown boxing. I mean, these guys don't know how to box. You know, they're just going to throw fists. That's all they're going to do. The bottom line is... What's that?
Or just feed them to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, man. Do something. Get this guy some competition. But we're going to be talking a lot today as we have open mics tonight, along with our guests that will be calling in just a few seconds, including with Rabiel. Judo Kickbox, or JKB, which, mind you, this group, Joe, and I know that you're Cuban descendants, they go to Cuba and they teach Cuban Americans how to practice mixed martial arts. And as of right now, they are currently holding some tournaments, which is pretty neat. And,
Cuba.
I think that in Cuba, see, I think the biggest hardship here is obviously going through the Cuban government, the Castro regime. And it's interesting to see that they are getting away with it because of the government. You have to consider that Cuba now has kind of loosened up on the rules and is giving an opportunity to athletes. And to have, now, mind you, there are a couple of UFC fighters who are Cuban, a couple of them being, you got Yoel Romero, you had Yoslan Izquierdo, you have Hector Lombard. These guys are Cubans, and they left their country while they were basically representing their country in the Olympics. Hector, for example, he left, and he competed in Australia. He left and stayed there. And then, you know, Alexis Vila, another guy who fought for Bellator, he left while competing in 1986. With the Olympic wrestling team, Cuban, and he stayed right here. So it's interesting to find out exactly how they get away with this stuff. And kudos to them, because I remember interviewing Yoel Romero, who is from Cuba, and said that people watch his fights over there, but they just have to wait a couple of weeks, you know, till they send the DVD. It's not like they see it live on pay-per-view. But people are aware of it over there. People are aware that MMA is picking up here in the States and the world. And you never know, Joe, you might see a bout one day, maybe, in Cuba. How cool would that be?
Hey, anything is possible.
That would be really, really cool.
Anything is possible.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
That would be cool.
Awesome.
I mean, the UFC is already going to be hosting, or Mexico actually will be hosting the first UFC out in Mexico soon. So that's going to be cool.
Let's see
like,
how those Mexican fans get.
Well, I think it's going to be quite well. Mexicans, Hispanics in general, they love fighting. And
no, that's what
Cubans,
I'm saying.
For example, they,
let's see how rowdy they get. Because, I mean, the same way how the Mexicans, they're into their wrestling, let's see how they're with the MMA.
And I'm sure it's going to go quite well. It's just a matter of time till this thing gets even bigger down south in our neighbors, which is South America. Moving on to other news, and again, we got a lot of ton of news here that we could discuss and talk about. Shout out to the Seattle Seahawks, who defeated the Denver Broncos in a slaughterhouse. They just literally slaughtered the Denver Broncos and made Peyton Manning looked like a bum. Definitely, this guy did not come out to play last Sunday during the Super Bowl on what many have already said, a boring Super Bowl. Even I don't know about you, but what do you think about the commercials?
There was a couple of them, but honestly, to be honest with you, this year's commercial wasn't that much of a hype like years back.
Yeah. I think that I've been getting the same response from other people. They just weren't really too satisfied with some of the commercials that aired. Personally, I am a fan of the pistachio commercials. I thought they were very funny.
That was fun. I was expecting something from Budweiser, Coke, Doritos. And there wasn't there nothing, or not even Pepsi. You know, there was really nothing creative this year.
No, it was really, really, I don't know. Something happened there as far as coming out and definitely being more creative, except for the one where Bud now is basically promoting that, hey, you know, you're basically ready for whatever. And that is when they present the guy beer, and then all of a sudden he goes from one place to another, and then he ends up
the Bud Light commercial,
concert with One Direction. Yeah, and that was really neat. That was pretty cool. I'm hoping it's real. But it is pretty cool, I got to admit.
Yeah, let's hope that's real too, because to me it looked kind of staged, scripted type of thing. But
nowadays you never know. All right, guys. So we have lots to talk about here today, as I said, as we are waiting on our first guest, part again, Fry Bell, who is part of the Judo Kickbox and have also trained several mixed martial artists of Cuban descendants. So we definitely will be talking a lot here on The Roman Show. Please call in, 714-868-0222 is the number. And make sure that you follow us on Twitter, at The Roman Show. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/rroman0201, where just this weekend, Joe, we posted a video of CM Punk's chance in Miami. And it's a trending video, as over 6,000 people have already seen this thing. It's just only 8 seconds. But it just comes to show you how much people want to see CM Punk in the WWE. But we'll talk about that in the second hour. As right now, we are going to welcome Fry Bell of the Judo Kickbox, or JKB. Fry Bell, how are you, my man? Welcome to the Roman Show.
Thank you.
Well, first and foremost, as I was explaining to our listeners here, that the Judo Kickbox is a group dedicated of teaching mixed martial arts to Cubans in their native land. And what you are doing, Farbell, is obviously something difficult, but you're doing it. And that is the fact that you're going out there, knowing the fact that the government, how much of a role it plays in Cuba. But kudos to you to bringing in this sport to Cuba and teaching these folks out there. Now, it was founded in 2002, but what really pushed you guys to go back to your native land and teach these guys mixed martial arts?
Excuse me? Hello?
Yeah. What was the motivation? Yeah, what was the motivation of going back to Cuba and teaching them mixed martial arts?
Oh yeah, the motivation was like, you know, trying to develop a new style, if we want to call that, to the JKB and introducing in Cuba, not as specific as what we all know as a mixed martial arts in these days. So the government, we always agree that they're gonna set a little more if we go in a martial way, and then not, you know, with a name, a specific name of mixed martial arts. And I think that way, with the support of the co-founder that we have on the island, everything's working perfectly until this day. You know, they training as a martial way in MMA.
So, you haven't had any issues with the government as far as what you were doing? Do you have any support from them by any chance?
No, absolutely no. Absolutely no. Mm-hmm. You know, but we just try. We cannot go, different way. We have to go, you know, follow the rules and not trying to be different as the rest of the other sports, combat sports in Cuba, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you've had no problem with the government. You're allowed to teach these.
No, not at all. This is JKB. Is a combat martial arts. We can call that way. You know, we use a uniform, traditional way to train. You know, it's not. It doesn't look that. How can I call that aggressive as what we understand on this day as a traditional martial art MMA. You know, mm-hmm. The mixed martial art. You know, it's a little more rough.
And I've noticed that you guys have held tournaments with these young guys.
Excuse me?
That you've held tournaments with these young guys over there in Cuba.
Well, they doing tournament already, yes, and they're doing great. Everything is successful until these days. Everything's going good. You know, we have, like I said, support of really good martial artists there. We also have a federation, JKB, and Kilo. We have it here too. And yeah, the participation is great. You know, they training in the game, different style. They was competing in a championship. I think that was in 2012. Against Sanda fighters, kickboxer, wrestler, you know, even judo guys, and you know, that was my elimination, and JKB did great.
But you know, I took a note, and I invite all you guys out there on listening to us. And by the way, they also have a book where they discuss about this. You can find that on Amazon. We'll talk about that a little later. But I noticed in the video that I didn't see any ground and pound. It was more of a stand up type of martial art competition.
Yeah, you know, like I say, it's a new sport. We can call always a new sport, and we cannot go straight to fighting into the MMA amateur. At least not my students here. They're prepared a little more rough. They're more, you know, advanced there, because they're not even on this sport. To Cuba first, you know, with alignment to do an MMA, and we do have a round. The thing is that when people doesn't understand completely what judo means, you know, when they say, when we call judo, someone hears the name of judo, they think right away about throws and takedowns. They don't realize that judo has a round fighting, and when you have round fighting, it's easy to go full mount and use ground and pound. So that's the easy part of the game, you know. So people get really confused because the name is judo kickbox. Like I say, when they say judo, they think it's stand-up, throws and takedowns. And when they see the other part, kickbox, they think, again, but it's not completely like that, because judo has ground. Really good ground, and judo kickbox is using a little more specific ground techniques than even the classic judo. You know, we're using the technique from Kosen Judo, which is an older system from where the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was developed from, the Kosen Judo, which is the ground fighting in judo. And these days they're not allowed to use those techniques in tournaments and around the world, and not even in judo.
So,
judo kickboxing is, you can be sure about this, it's MMA in a martial way.
But will you incorporate a little of the jiu-jitsu, the ground game, the wrestling?
Yeah, well, we use the base in judo kickboxing is judo. And judo has really good ground. The name of that really good ground from judo is not a judo on the ground on this day. It's the back of the time. It's named Kosen Judo.
Mm-hmm.
Kosen Judo is totally different at the ground work that you see today in judo schools. You know, today judo schools are on the ground. They're not that strong as in the past. And we use those skills from the past and judo kickbox from Kosen Judo. Kosen Judo specializes just in the ground. I don't know if you ever hear about that, but it's a really, really tough groundwork.
How were these children open to learn these type of moves over there? And how has mixed martial arts played a role in Cuba? And is it becoming big?
Yeah, it's becoming big because, you know, Cuba, they're pretty, pretty disciplined in everything that they do, you know. So every instructor, every school, they like to teach martial way, you know, the tradition, everything like that. And Carlos Finale, the founder of the JKB, and co-founder Eric Elpide Castaño, five-time world champion, they are the main characters bringing the JKB to Cuba. And, you know, when they tried in Cuba, the technique, the idea and everything, they realized that what we're doing is mixed martial arts. Different way to train. We can say that also we use gi, but we do technique without gi too, you know. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Recently, I bring gi to a tournament with over 60 competitors. I bring 9 competitors, and we bring back home, you know, to the school 20 medals, 12. First place, 5 second place, and 3 third place, and they were all beginners and 3 intermediate. They do grappling, no gi, grappling with gi, and MMA, just not striking to the face. And there was everything.
Now,
all of them were successful. Excuse me?
Yeah, and now, do any of the Cuban mixed martial artists that compete in the UFC or and other promotions, have they gone out there to Cuba and teach as well?
Is there what?
Have they gone to Cuba and taught?
Yeah, we have Felix Peñalbert, and we have also have Yolandi Cuba Izquierdo, and he's he used to be and he competed in UFC. I don't think Yolandi travels to Cuba to teach, but Felipe Peñalbert, yes, he does. And they push it really hard, you know, and they help and they support it really, really, really hard with us for the JKB.
And now are Cubans over there aware, though, of the Cubans competing in mixed martial arts? And do they see these guys as role models, you know, and how do they keep up with them? Where do they see these fights?
Well, you know, everybody's traveled on this thing, QAC. So they bring videos and things like that. They also connect to us through Facebook. So we post some videos. They see it. You know, they're actual follow us with everything that we do. So they're supporting us, we're supporting them, and, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, congratulations for that and that effort that you're doing, because it's definitely something that's not easy, but you're definitely trying your best, and who knows, you know, we might be able to see soon Cuban.
Yeah.
With the UFC title one day.
Yeah, it's not easy, you know. Anything that is new is take time, you know. People need to see the result first, then they start, you know, to look at whatever it is new. So they need to see first, then they believe. You know what I mean? We believe in JKB, and the result is there. Little by little, but
right.
We're going. We take.
Gotcha. Well, Fabio, I want to thank you so much. Where can people visit or call for information?
Okay, they can go to the beatbox.com. They can also see the book there. If they need more information, if they need change, they can come to my school here in Miami at 12491 Southwest, 134 Court. Door number 28, Miami, Florida, 33186. My phone number is 786-863-7254. My name is Sensei Prader Hernandez. So if they have any concern or they have curiosity or whatever, they can pass by there and they can see the way how we train. The main idea, you know, the idea how we train is totally different. It's not kicking and boxing and going back. You know, we try to create a combo as a one technique, you know. So if you train that way, your mindset is totally different at the moment of the fight.
Fabio, thank you so very much, and I wish you good luck with that effort, and I hope to speak to you soon.
Okay.
Thank you, Fabio. Have a good night. Thank you.
All right, you too. All
right. Thank you. Well, Joe, the reporter, there you have it for Abel Hernandez about Judo Kickbox, who is dedicated to promote mixed martial arts and educate mixed martial arts in Cuba, which is definitely something that is challenging. But they're doing it. And from he told us that the young man over there and women are interested. You know, they want to do this thing, and the government seems like they are not getting involved, which is a good thing. So they're letting them practice with mixed martial arts. And yeah, it really stinks that a government plays a role in sports and has to dictate something when there's no liberty, when, you know, you want to do something, you want to practice something, but you can't because you have Big Brother over you telling you what to do and what not to do. But it's good news to hear that, you know, Fabel and all these gentlemen are going out there to teach these guys mixed martial arts despite the difficulties that these folks live through with every single day. So good stuff coming out of there. And something only that you will hear on the Roman Show. You won't hear this stuff anywhere else. This is exclusive stuff.
And at the same time, is an outlet for the Cubans to get out of there.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure is. And in a way, you know, it's interesting how he mentioned that, you know, they're not able to see any mixed martial arts fights, but they find ways to see MMA, to keep up with their favorite fighter. And it's just, it's really amazing how they find ways, you know, through Facebook and all that stuff. So, and it also comes to show you, too, that little by little, they are kind of easing up. They're being lenient as far as freedom over there, but it's not quite there. But, again, this is something that you only hear on the Roman Show, very, very, very exclusive stuff. And this is why we are the Roman Show. We're not, you know, your average show that gives you the stuff that you'll read anywhere else. This is stuff that you'll get exclusively here on the Roman Show. And that is what sets us apart on the show. All right, guys, moving forward now, we're welcoming in Joseph Kerr. And please forgive me, Joe, if I'm mispronouncing it. Is it Creer? Creer?
How are you doing? Yeah, I'm here.
How are you, Joe? Yeah. How do you pronounce your last name? I want to make sure I pronounce it correctly.
You pronounce it Creer.
Creer.
Yeah,
okay, good. I did have it right. Okay, Joe.
Yeah,
all
you
right.
Were all
I just,
over it.
I didn't want to botch it up, but thanks so very much, Joe, for joining us. And congratulations as you, sir, were out there in, on the XFC Open Fighter Tryout, and you definitely had much success. A staff sergeant in the United States Army, went 4-1 in amateur, and now will be debuting soon with the XFC. Congratulations, and thank you so very much for serving our country, too.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Joe, so let's talk about this XFC Open Fighter Tryout. It was just held last month. You went out there and you competed. What are some of the stuff that you went through and some of the competition that was out there as well that you can't manage to keep an eye on?
Roger. I actually, you know, in hindsight, I think that the XFC has a very strategic way in selecting the people that they're going to give contracts to. When we got there, I went with my friend. His name is Prince. We went there, and we were looking around, and they said, you know, it was going to be the cardio circuit first, and it was 2 minutes, four exercises at 2 minutes apiece, and it was like maybe 20 or 30-second break in between. It was burpees for 2 minutes, pull-ups for 2 minutes, cleans for 2 minutes, and push-ups for 2 minutes, and I knew that would separate the grain from the chaff right there, right out the gate. And, you know, I'm in the military, so I was like, oh, burpees, no problem. Pull-ups, no problem, although in the Army we don't do pull-ups for 2 minutes nonstop. But I was like, okay, let's see what happens there. The cleans, no problem, and the push-ups, no problem. But a lot of people, you can kind of tell. I think what I realized early on, it was more about the quality in which you did the exercise and not necessarily the amount, because a lot of people were banging out 80s and 90s and hundreds of this and 75s of that, but the technique and the form was horrible. And once again, in the military, we stress technique. But that killed a lot of guys. And then we moved into the mitt work. So I have a boxing coach. His name is Donnie Bellflowers, and he makes us do so much mitt work and so much bag work. And the XFC guys, they said, hey, just 30 seconds on the bag and 30 seconds on the mitts. And I said in my head, well, let me beat this bag and these mitts like I was going to die tomorrow and see what happens there. So I felt pretty confident there. And then we moved into the grappling rounds. And I'm very confident in my jiu-jitsu. So I knew I could make it through the grappling rounds. And they put me with the big guys. So I said, okay, as long as I can fend off these big guys, I know although they were searching for submissions, the competition that I had was very stiff in that aspect because they wouldn't give me something. Usually with jiu-jitsu, you leave something out and I have to take it, but they wouldn't let that happen for me. And then finally we moved into sparring. They had the preliminary rounds of sparring and then the finals. And I got nervous because they never called my name for the preliminary rounds. Although I was selected for the preliminary rounds of sparring, they never called my name. So I said, oh, man, maybe they lost my paper or something like that. And then called me for the finals, and I said, so I was looking around. I tried to figure out who else didn't spar during the preliminary rounds. And the person I saw that didn't spar was a guy named Zed Mitchell. And quite possibly I had the most fun I've ever had sparring with a person was with Zed Mitchell. And like we said it, after we got finished sparring, we just gave each other a big hug, and we were talking outside the cage like, oh, man, that was great. And we made a pact, and we said, hey, you know they're going to put us back in a cage, and eventually they might make us fight again in that cage. So let's ensure that the next people we spar that we do very well, and then we'll go spar again. And then after that, you know, we looked up and we exchanged Facebook pages and all this other stuff. And I'm going to go down to his gym, and hopefully he'll come down to my gym so we can continue to train together. He's a really cool guy. And also I got to spar with Ricky Saxton. He also received a three-fight contract, and he's very explosive, and he has really good technique when it comes to striking, and his takedowns are very, very good as well. And he trains out of Team Rock with a couple of my buddies from the military, and he's a very good fighter as well. So the competition was very stiff, but it was quite possibly the most fun I ever had. And it was kind of like a – say again, yes.
Yeah, so Joseph, you're 32 now. So you started your amateur career at 30. You were in the military for 11 years. In the military, did you have some – did you compete in martial arts in the military? You know, why at 30? Why not a little bit earlier? You just didn't have the chance? You didn't have the opportunity?
Well, yeah, you know, in the military, because of the up-tempo of my job, you know, between deployments and everything, I never really got an opportunity to actually, like, hit the ground running. But, you know, I talk about my age with my coaches all the time, and I think one of the advantages I have is unlike younger guys who have been fighting for such a long time, their body didn't take that much abuse. Their body's taken so much abuse over time. My body hasn't taken that much abuse, but you do have to take in consideration all the abuse that I took in the military. But I think age is just a mindset. So as long as I continue to feel young and act young and look young, because I'll tell you, brother, I look a lot better than some of these 20-year-olds when it comes to looks. I'm pretty. But but
I hear you. I'm in my 30s myself, so I definitely it's all a state of mind, like you say.
Yeah, but yes, I have competed in the military a whole lot. I'm a combatives instructor, a senior combatives instructor. I went through all the levels of combatives, and that's really what got my interest. And I said, okay, there's a difference between just being a MACP or Modern Army combatives instructor and then being a Modern Army combatives instructor that can actually prove that the stuff works. And that's when I said, well, let me put my money where my mouth is, and let me put my training value into something that could possibly take me somewhere. And, you know, I started training.
We've seen success, though, with folks that have started in the 30s with mixed martial arts. Not that, you know, that they weren't competing before in something else, but Randy Couture just comes into play. You know, that guy started in his mid-30s, and look at his career. So you can't take anything away from him. So at the end of the day, age is a mindset. But have you found some difficulties training in MMA in your 30s compared to the younger guys?
No, I mean, physically, I'm just as young and spry as any 20-year-old. I mean, for real. I think, once again, that's I can credit that to being in the military, because not just that, although I guess you can call me one of those older guys or whatever. I love it when I get like a brand-new soldier that thinks he can run faster than me or jump higher or do more push-ups and do more pull-ups and everything. I like the type of stuff. It's a challenge. I have not run into a physically taxing portion of mixed martial arts training just yet. I mean, don't get me wrong. The grind is just as hard, but I think, you know, once again, it's the mind. It comes down to the mind. And just like you said earlier, I was 4-1 as an amateur, and I'll say that one loss, in hindsight now that it's passed and gone, I think it was in December of 2012, in hindsight now I'm actually glad that it happened, because it taught me something about myself, and it taught me about the mental side of martial arts and combatives and fighting in general, because, you know, there's that fine line when you're training for a fight or for a competition, 90% of it is physical and 10% of it is mental. And then as you get seconds out or weeks and days out from the fight, it becomes 90% mental and 10% physical. Fights are won with your mind. Your body just plays just a little part about it. Or think about how many times you've seen these fighters who break something and still continue to fight, or who just recently broke a hand. Who was that in the most recent UFC fight? But he did well. Or who else? Who else broke something and just kept
fighting? Let's see. John Jones broke a toe the other day. Bendo, I think, broke his hand. Was it? I just can't remember.
Yeah,
I believe it was Bendo.
And Bendo, I think, who was it? Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell, didn't he break his hand? Did he break his forearm or something like that fighting somebody, and he still knocked the guy out with it? I don't remember. I'm not a historian when it comes to this stuff. You know, I got my favorite guys. I sure do wish Anderson Silva was able to snap that shin back in place and keep going. But, it's not here nor there.
And now, going into this, you're 4-1. A lot of these fighters, they tend to wait to see when it's the right moment, when to go pro. Do you think this was the right moment for you to go pro?
Well, I'll tell you this. I sat down and talked to my coaches, and these guys are like, well, brothers and grandfathers and uncles and stuff like that. But I talked to them. The last fight I had was in November, and I think around December, I said to myself and I said to my wife and I said to my coaches, I said, this year, 2014, I want to go pro regardless, because, you know, I am older, and the window of opportunity will close on me. You know, I think about Muhammad Ali. He was 38 when things started going bad for him. And, you know, I said the window of opportunity, if I'm going to get this strap, it's going to be the XFC strap now, I'm going to get it. before the twilight of my 30s. And also, let me do it while I'm still physically healthy and I'm not injured or anything like that. And, you know, I got a brand new baby girl. I got a whole crap load of stuff to prove to her. So we're going to do it. And it's going to be fun.
Well,
and I told, just excuse me, bring it back to, I start drifting. I told my coaches before the end of 2014 I wanted to go pro. And it just so happened, you know, how you kind of speak things into existence. I spoke it into existence, and an opportunity presented itself. And I'm glad I took it. And I thank the XFC president, John Prisco, and TJ, and all the other representatives at XFC for actually giving me the opportunity to test my might and see how far I can take myself.
Well, Joe, you definitely are in a good spot, as we have seen big fighters coming out of those trials. One of them comes to mind, obviously, Nick Newell. He competed in a trial. Look at him now. A lot of success he's had for the XFC and now with the World Series of Fighting. So you're definitely in good hands with the XFC, and now that they've expanded down to South America. Joe, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on The Roman Show. Anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to, like, I want to thank my partners. And I want to thank my primary jiu-jitsu instructor. His name is Monty Massey, and my boxing coach. He's like my white uncle. I want to thank my boxing coach, Donnie Bellflowers, for everything that they've done. And like I said, my coaches, Professor Arrigo, he was my first jiu-jitsu instructor. And my my wrestling coach, Captain John Anderson, and he's also my mental readiness coach, resilience coach. These are the guys that are very instrumental. Also, my Fadalsa Ray, kickboxing instructor. His name is Vanta Chim. And I want to thank all of those guys, because without my coaches or my team, I wouldn't have gotten this far. And this is only the beginning. And we got a long way to go.
Joe, well, thank you
thank
so
you.
Very much. Good luck.
Thank
my pleasure, Joe. It's a pleasure to have you. And again, thank you for serving our country, and good luck in the XFC, and hope to have you here soon when your first opponent is announced.
All right. Hey, thank you. And hi, Mom. Hi,
thank
Mom.
You. Have a good night.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Joe. Have a good night. Thank you so very much. There you have it, folks. Joseph here, who won the XFC tryout, is looking forward to his debut in the XFC very soon. A military man who served our country and has now has made his way into mixed martial arts. Just one of a well, several. One of them being Colton Smith is another military man who made it into the Ultimate Fighter and is now competing in the UFC. And it's just, we're just going to see them coming in slowly but surely into mixed martial arts, or if they are that transition from the military to mixed martial arts, knowing that there is a lot of martial arts practice in the military. So it's not that much of a big change when it comes to adding more of other techniques. So they're used to this stuff. You know, this is something that they do while in service, and a lot of these guys are going to come back in here and trying to make a good run into the mixed martial arts community, and they're going to bring it. So as these guys come back from Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere to the States, it's going to be very interesting to see how many of these soldier men come out and compete in mixed martial arts. Well, in just a few seconds, we are waiting. Joe, the reporter on Roderick Strong, really excited to interview this man who has competed in Ring of Honor. He is also, he also competed in TNA. He also competed in part of Dragon's Gate USA. And obviously, he's just coming out actually from a graphic neck injury that he just recently suffered. So we'll talk to him about that. But as I mentioned, he has been a Ring of Honor Tag Team Champion, TV Champion, and World Champion. He also defeated none other than the Yes Man, Daniel Bryan, back in 2006 in a title versus career match to win the full Impact Pro title. I am pumped to interview Roderick Strong, a man who has played a major role in professional wrestling, also down here in Florida. And then followed by the real redneck, Cooter Bocephus, who will be competing in CWF in May. And then Pablo Marquez will be calling in. A former ECW wrestler will be letting us know about the event happening on February 15th, which will be featuring the homicidal, suicidal, genocidal Sabu. With that said, we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back here on The Roman Show. Make sure to call in 714-868-0222. I see some of you guys there on the chat room. If you have any questions, make sure to type it in there. We'll go ahead and ask it to our guests. And tweet at The Roman Show, at The Roman Show, and subscribe, youtube.com/rroman0201.
Hey, this is Nelly from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you? When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
Yo, high five.
Yo, hey, monkey, it's me, DDP. The king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, for you, monkey, you're listening to The Roman Show. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
If every day goes like this, how do we survive?
And we are back on The Roman Show, February 5th, as we just Joseph Curry, who won the XFC tryout, and Fribrel Hernandez of Judo Kickbox, a group dedicated to educate mixed martial artists in Cuba and some of the obstacles that they face regarding the government. But they are doing it the Caribbean island, and it's something interesting. If you missed the interview, no worries. You can head on over right after the show is done. RodolphRoman.com is the website where we have just posted, Joe the reporter, the payroll of Max FC. Max FC took place February 1st. That means this past Saturday, which happened to be my birthday, actually. But and also UFC 169. But this is what's going on, Joe the reporter. We released the payroll or the fighters' contracts, and it is really astonishing. Now, we have this discussion all the time. You know, we had Yerosandi Izquierdo spoke about this the other day about how he felt the payroll, how much these fighters are getting paid. And I want to touch this subject before we move on and speak some pro wrestling. But the bottom line is this. The fighter who made the most on that fight card was $600. That's all they made, $600. It is sad to say, but the truth, and let this the truth be told, because this is true. You can earn that much money or even possibly more in backyard fighting. And this is a true statement. I am not making this up. This is all true. I'm not blaming the promoter. So
dude,
I'm not
the
in any way pointing fingers.
$600 more.
I know, but check this out. I'm not pointing fingers here at anyone. I'm just reading things in black and white. I mean, it is what it is at the end of the day. And the fighter agreed to the payroll.
Yeah, and
so
the fighters
the
get black
line,
and blue for $600.
Well, you know, the other, you know, it's just like Yoslandi Izquierda, who called in. Fight 10 Promotions is another company who is known for paying the fighters $1, but they make the money off their tickets, which actually is Max FC payroll. You know, makes fight time completely different. You know, but yeah, that's how they pay their fighters. They pay fighters with tickets. But again, I'm not blaming the promoters. I'm not. At the end of the day, it's the decision of the fighter. Mind you, there's one fighter here, one fighter that earned $100. He earned $100 for a fight. That is it. That's how much he got paid, $100. You want to find out who that is, you can go and visit RodolphRoman.com. But that is just, this is just a reality. This is just the reality of it. $100. This is how much these guys are getting paid after they've been training their butts off in the gym. Again, I'm not blaming the promoter. This is a call that the managers or fighters make. But at the end of the day, it's sad to say and read those numbers because it's pretty upsetting. But again, RodolphRoman.com, where you can see the results of how much these fighters earned at Max FC, which took place February 1st. In Daytona Beach, Florida. It was Max FC, the promotion from Puerto Rico's debut down here in Florida. All right, guys, with that forward, we're going to move forward now and speak to pro wrestling. And as I had mentioned, I am stoked as we are going to welcome right now Roderick Strong, who has played a vital role in Florida. He is definitely an elite when it comes to independent pro wrestling. He has also appeared on the Ring of Honor, TNA, and several other promotions. Roderick, thank you so very much, and welcome to the Roman Show.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, man. An honor to have you here. And we know now that on February 23rd, you will be competing against Johnny Gargano in New York. He is the current Dragon Gate USA Open, the Freedom Gate champion at the Way of the Running 2014, and that's going to be airing live on WWNLive.com, which is now streaming on HD. I'm sure you're stoked about that, but I have to ask you first, Roderick, how is the neck? I know that you suffered recently a very graphic neck injury that kept you away from action at a recent Evolve event.
Hey, it's doing better. It's doing better. I actually am returning to action this weekend or next weekend. It's not 100% confirmed yet which weekend is going to be my first match back, but it's doing better, man. It's taken a lot of therapy and just a lot of time to heal, a lot of resting as well. But it's doing much better, and, you know, I thank everybody for their support that have been hitting me up on Twitter, on Facebook, emails, so on and so forth, text messages. So it's been a pretty interesting situation, and you know, it really makes you appreciate, you know, your job and life when you realize it could have just ended in a split second. So just, you know, I'm doing all right.
How long have you been out of action with this injury, Roder?
January 4th was my last match, so a little over a month. So
you recovered pretty quickly. And exactly what did you have in the neck area? Did they find out exactly what you had? And how did you manage to recuperate with the rehab?
It ended up being like a little over like 5 weeks. It's still not, it's not 100% healed. I have to go to therapy, continue to do physical therapy and see a chiropractor. But it's good enough for me to actually start wrestling again. So, The actual details of the injury, I'm just going to keep, I'm going to keep that private, but okay. I did suffer, a neck strain, kind of like whiplash, to be a little vague about it, but, and a mild concussion, but nothing too serious. But yeah, it is what it is, but it should be good to go. I've been training rather hard for the last couple of weeks, trying to get ready for my first match back, whenever it may be, this coming weekend or the following weekend. But all I know is I got my eyes set on February 23rd, where I actually may face Shima as well. Johnny Gargano's got a match Saturday night, and I actually face the winner of that. I mean, I know Shima very well from Dragon Gate, my time there, but no offense to him. He's a super talented wrestler, but I'm really hoping it's Johnny who I face on Sunday, because a little settled the score with him. So it's going to be nice to whoop his ass in Brooklyn and take his belt. So.
And I know that weekend in Brooklyn, New York is definitely going to be happening, as it's a great, great event happening over there. Again, you can watch it live, wwnlive.com. That will be live from Brooklyn, New York, live in HD against Gargano. So what is it about the feud between you and Gargano? Let us know a little bit.
Well, it's just a matter, and this is something that's been somewhat known, is the fact that I thought for a while Johnny, I didn't really think much of Johnny because I didn't know Johnny, and then I had an opportunity to watch him wrestle, and I kind of saw what all the hype was about, because originally to me I thought he was just the guy that really wanted to be Alex Shelley, Alex Shelley's the guy I was with in Generation Next, the guy I have a lot of respect for. So I just, I was like, Johnny's a huge Alex Shelley fan. But then over time, I really I had an opportunity to start being on shows with Johnny and, watching Johnny's promos and watching him grow as a wrestler and, completely changed my mind about Johnny. I think he's a fantastic athlete, and I think he's an amazing wrestler. And he's really, really done a lot for Dragon Gate USA and brought a lot of popularity to it just based on how amazing he is in the ring and the quality of matches he brings every show. But, I mean, there was really nothing between us, man, until he wanted to poke some fun at me and evolve. And I understand, it's fresh off the injury and maybe a little sensitive to it, but, I don't know. There was just something about it. I guess Johnny thought it was a little funny to make fun of me, over the incident that had happened to me. And, with that, Johnny made it a little personal. So, I mean, that's really the reason I'm hoping that Johnny is still champion come February 23rd.
So you definitely took it disrespectful to whatever words or whatever he said or statement he made. You took it offensively and disrespectfully towards you.
I did. I'm a guy that's fought through many, many injuries, and Johnny should know, someone that had to rehab and, train to get back to the sport because he had a bad back injury. And, you would think that he would have a little bit more respect for me for the fact that, understanding what I'm going through to get back to being 100% and to be able to entertain the fans like I want to be able to. And I don't know, maybe he just thought it would be funny. I'm not exactly sure what his deal is. Maybe he has something to prove. So I'm the man that's just excited to shut him up.
Now, you haven't had the chance to confront him, whether it be on social media or in person, about what he told you that day?
Not yet. But I will very, very soon. I'll be releasing a statement very soon. Just let Johnny know, what to expect come February 23rd if he's still champion.
And again, that February 23rd, if he's still champion, we're going to see Strong and Gargano going at it one-on-one, that big event happening, Way of the Run in 2014, February 23rd, live from Brooklyn, New York, live on HD on WWNLive.com. Now, Roderick, you've had such a long history here in pro wrestling, especially in Florida. What do you see the current status of pro wrestling in Florida, especially in that area of Tampa and Orlando, with the WWE having its performance out there? Have you noticed some of the changes, some of the differences, some of the goods and the bads?
I think Florida actually went through a rough patch when FIP went away. And the fact that it's back and the fact that Evolve has been running down here has really helped, and it's really raised the quality of shows, I feel, just in general around Florida. I don't have an opportunity to do very much around here, but it is fantastic when I get a chance to step into the ring in Tampa, which I will be able to March 14th for FIP at the Orpheum right here in Tampa, 7 minutes away from my house, you know, and then in Orlando. I really think they've done a good job of building a fan base. And the quality of matches are fantastic. And the talent, a lot of them are young and up-and-coming guys just looking for an opportunity. And that's what WWN Live brings to people, is just opportunity to be seen, you know.
And now with this network, you know, now that they're just announced that NXT is going to be holding a pay-per-view, and you're right, you know, it definitely pushes some of the talent in the area to get better because they want to take it to the next level. Now, I want to talk to you since you've had, you mentioned Full Impact Pro, and I know you're going to be wrestling there soon, but you defeated Bryan Daniels in a title versus career match to win the FIP title back in 2006. Can you take us back to that day?
Yeah, it was an epic day. I remember, I believe it was in, I'm trying to think exactly where it was. The Brooksville, maybe? I don't know. It was just me and Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan have a very long history. So for me, that was a very important day in my career to finally just to win one. And me and Bryan have fought multiple times for a long time and beat each other up. And you know, for the most part, he's had my number. But that day, with my girlfriend in the crowd, you know, some family, some friends, you know, I finally conquered the beast. It took me a long time to do it, but it was a very emotional moment, and it's meant a lot to me in the history of my career.
And how about wrestling Bryan? I know you're wrestling him several times, but what is it about his type of technique and talent that he brings to the squared circle, and as you as an opponent working together?
Confidence, man. Confidence in any situation, he knows what to do. So it makes you, it makes you step your game up. I think to be the best in this business, you have to have confidence and be able to adjust to any situation that's thrown in front of you. And I think he's one of the best at doing that, and that's why he's successful as he is.
And your thoughts on what's going on? Do you keep up with the WWE? I know some wrestlers that just refuse to watch it, believe it or not. But so
yeah,
what is your thoughts?
I watch every. Man, it is what it is. You can't. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, he's doing a fantastic job at what he's asked to do, and that's all you can do in this business, you know. And he'll be given the opportunities I feel that he deserves. It's just a matter of timing with everything.
Now, I know that you were also in ROH, you were champ over there. Just today, actually, they just released an article on WWE.com discussing some of the talent from ROH that have made their way into WWE, you know, Bryan being one of them, Tony Cesaro being another. You know, ROH has played a major role in professional wrestling and is still going strong. You know, how much are we going to see some of these talents more? Or do you think we'll see them in TNA's? In WWE, little by little, they're going to open up. I know we've seen a couple now, but there were some rumors that they're going to close the door on that. But do you think some of these guys will get the chance that they deserve, guys like yourself, at one point?
I do, man. I think, you know, opportunities are coming for a lot of people. They are, you know, you work hard, and you'll definitely get an opportunity, and that's what Ring of Honor does. Everyone that comes into Ring of Honor, they understand that that's where the best talent comes. Be it if people feel the best talent is there now or there are other places, it's whatever. But everyone knows when you come to Ring of Honor, there's a standard that is set and there is a bar you have to try to jump over. Because if you're not trying to jump over that bar, you don't deserve to be in the company. Everyone goes out there and gives 100% every time. So, I mean, I think Ring of Honor is always going to have an influence. I think it's just the mentality of the guys. They want to be the best, so they're going to work, they're going to try, they're going to evolve. And you see what I did there, evolve. But, you know, I think opportunities are going to come to a lot of people, and I hope the best for everybody.
Well, Evolve and Dragons Gate USA is definitely doing a good job at giving you guys some good opportunities and definitely challenging you to the next level. As we were talking to Roderick Strong, who will be competing at the Way of the Run-In 2014, February 23rd, live on HD at WWNLive.com. And he's hoping he gets Johnny Gargano to try to settle score on something that he said regarding his injury. Now, you were trained by Jim Neidhart and Prince Iaukea. Do you keep in touch with some of these guys?
I mean, I've talked to Jim a couple times when I've seen him, but for the most part, no. I mean, I wasn't really trained by Prince Iaukea, but I did train with him.
Oh.
And,
okay.
I mean, if I see these guys, I speak with them. I try my best to stay in contact with, you know, people from my past because they, you know, they've had such a big influence on me and they've really helped me along the way. So, I mean, every time I see Jim, I try to speak with him, or I see Natty, I try to let her, you know, ask her to say hi to her dad for me, because, you know, my time around him and my experiences have really helped in my career and taught me a lot.
Roderick, if there's one person that you'd like to wrestle that you have not had the opportunity currently, who would it be and why?
Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho is just, I don't know, I just think we would, you know, we would mesh well. I mean, there's there's a bunch of guys that I'd really like to wrestle, and I feel like I can have a good match with anybody, so, but Chris Jericho is one of the guys I'd definitely like to wrestle, or Kurt Angle, again.
We'll definitely will look forward to that match if that ever happens. That'd be definitely good, and I know you just recently, too, also wrestled AJ Styles, who, he's no longer with TNA, and you've wrestled him on a couple occasions.
I have wrestled him on a couple occasions, yeah.
And tell me, wrestling this guy, AJ Styles, definitely electrifying. Do you have that? What's the chemistry that you have between you and him?
I love working with AJ. I mean, he's competitive just like I am, and I think it brings out a next level intensity out of both of us, and it's always a pleasure. He's super talented. So, I mean, there's not much that, you know, people don't know about him that I can say. So, I enjoy stepping in the ring with him every time.
One of our fans here wants to know, how old were you the first time that you saw pro wrestling?
Oh, man, I was like 5, maybe 4. I mean, it's hard to remember my childhood when I actually went and saw wrestling for the first time, but I mean, I used to go, my dad used to take me to live events when I was like 5, 6. So I've always been a fan.
Well, Roderick, I want to thank you so very much for taking time. And it's really a true honor to have you here, man. We're a big fan of your work, and I just can't wait what you could possibly do when you face off against Johnny Gargano, hopefully at Way of the Run in 2014, February 23rd from Brooklyn, New York. And it's going to be live on WWNLive.com, streamed in HD. Roderick, anything else you'd like to add?
No, that's it. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/RoderickStrong. Pick up some merchandise. Follow me on Twitter, like my Facebook page. You know, keep in contact. I like to hear from the fans, so just holler at me.
And what's your Twitter account, Roderick?
Roderick Strong. That's it.
Very
at Roderick
Strong. At Roderick
Strong.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Roderick, thank you so very much, man, and look forward to seeing you in action again.
Thanks, man. Bye.
Thank you. Have a good night. Great interview there with Roderick Strong, Joe, this guy has wrestled the top of the top, you know, from Bryan Daniels to AJ Styles, as he had mentioned, Angle, and now he's looking forward to possibly getting inside the squared circle against Johnny Gargano, who called him out regarding his neck injury. And neck injuries are no joke, as we have seen several careers gone down the drain because of that. So very happy that Strong has been able to come back and get inside soon in the squared circle to give us a great performance. And I'm telling you guys, if you guys are at home or just watching WWE and TNA, I invite you to head on over to YouTube and look up Roderick Strong. This guy's a badass. I'm telling you right now, I'm a big fan of these guys that, you know, some of these guys don't get the spotlight. because they're an independent promotion. But some of the stuff that these guys are doing in the indie scenes, like in Evolve, like in Dragon's Gate USA, it's just simply amazing, man. It truly, truly is. And if you are a true hardcore pro wrestling fan, you would definitely appreciate this. And I invite you guys to go to the website, wwnlive.com, to see some of the events that they have had in the past. And it's very affordable. It's not that expensive. And you can see the live events as well, starting off with the one on February 23rd, Way of the Running on 2014. That's Dragon Gate USA that's presenting it, along with Shine and Evolve.
And 720.
What's that?
And 720. So it's on high definition.
Yes. It's on high definition. Again, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. Right now they got on demand the Shine event, which took place January 24th, January 12th, 11th, and 10th. So they got a whole ton of pro wrestling, and you are seeing the future, because a lot of these guys that competed or that have competed in Dragon's Gate USA, Evolve, and Full Impact Wrestling, and so many others have or are currently in the big leagues. So you get a chance to see, you get a tease of what to expect when these guys make it to the next level. We're going to go to a quick break here on the Roman Show. Call in 714-868-0222. That's 714-868-0222. As we just finished speaking to Roderick Strong, who will be in action February 23rd. Glad to hear that he is feeling a lot better from that neck injury, and can't wait to see him in action again. February 23rd from New York.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks, girl. Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. call in live at 714-868-0222 or tweet us live at RomanDH. It's The Roman Show.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar John Cena. Keep listening to The Roman Show. If you don't, I'll check the phone book. I'll find you. It'll get weird with these. Weird.
Oh, John Cena, who's recovering from an eye injury. We saw him here actually live at none other than the American Airlines Arena as he faced Randy Orton. Speaking of Randy Orton, Joel the Reporter, allegedly he took a stab at CM Punk, where he stated at a live show that if you can't hack it, you might as well quit. Now, of course, this is something that fans have said and have taken this into account, but you can't really point fingers that that's what Randy Orton meant if it was a stab to CM Punk. Although there was a promo where The Shield at a live event did take a hit to none other than CM Punk. The Shield did say something in regards of, heck, you know, if you want something, if you want him, well, you're going to have to wait because there's a new best in the world. They can't really tell exactly which one of the three said it, but they did take a stab at it. As of right now, we're still up in the air. Oh, and by the way, the direct quote from Orton is, if at first you don't succeed, quit. As of right now, we're still waiting as far as this thing will work, if this thing is a shoot. We don't know what's going on. But I'll tell you this, Joe the Reporter, it's definitely a lot of fun to be a pro wrestling fan right now because it keeps you in that mystery. You know, like back then, you have to wait months to finally see two guys meet at a pay-per-view. And I think that's what's missing in pro wrestling. And I think that we're definitely getting that with Punk, with Bryan Daniels. Bryan Daniels. Mm-hmm. Or Daniel Bryan. You know, we're getting it right now. You know, when is Daniel Bryan going to get a shot? Is CM Punk ever coming back? So it leaves you with that curiosity.
It makes you want to tune in.
Exactly. And I think is what was missing. You know, they had it when Cena and Rock, they had to wait a year. And we're seeing it right now with Daniel Bryan and Punk. And I think it's a great thing. All right, moving forward, we're going to keep teasing you until the day comes, and that's all the way till May. But either way, we'll give you just a little rundown of what to expect, as we are definitely glad to have none other than Cooter Bocephus on the Roman Show, who will be competing against Robbie E at the CWF event in May. I know we're teasing the hell out of you because you're going to still have to wait a couple of months till CWF comes into town to the Florida International University campus. But Cooter, welcome to the Roman Show, the real redneck. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Cooter, you're wrestling none other than Robbie E, a TNA superstar, at the CWF event in May, and tickets are already on sale. What can you tell us about facing off against Robbie E?
I don't know what I can tell you about the guy other than that dude must have some stock in suntan lotion and the spray tan boost and all that. And the hair, man, I'm jealous of that guy's hair. That hair is out of this world, you know. It's something else, but it should be a fun match. I think my talents put together, we should put it on a great show for the fans.
And no doubt about that. And again, you can get your tickets. They are already on sale. May 10th is the date. Put it on your calendar. Mark it down. And you can get your tickets by visiting CWF. This is on Facebook, actually. CWF Maximum Force. You can get tickets already there. And they got great prices to see a long list of great performers that will be in action. And they just released, folks, that Matt Hardy will be on the main event, the tag team match, along with great guys like Cooter himself. Now, Cooter, I'd like to talk to you because your style of wrestling is a bit unorthodox. I took a quick look at one of your recent matches against Rough Rider Rashawn, where you were doing some unusual moves, like slapping the guy on his behind and doing some odd things. What is it about this? Is this just your strategy, part of the game, to throw your opponent off?
I just like to have fun out there. You know, if you can't have fun, what the heck are you doing out there? Yeah, you take stuff serious at times, but if you throw the guy off a little bit and tick him off, he's going to make that mistake, and I'll be able to capitalize, you know. And plus, I just listen to what my manager, Duck, tells me to do all the time, which, by the way, Duck has a very important question for y'all down there, because, you know, being from the country, we're not city folks. And Miami is a big old city, so we want to get this right. Please tell us what the proper term, or big word here for me, vernacular, I learned that just for you boys, what the proper vernacular is. Is it prairie dogging it, or is it the turtle's peeking his head out of the shell?
See, now you definitely got us here. You know, I know you're teasing us down here, and I got to tell you this exactly, because I was going to ask you, Cooter, now, how are you going to respond, you and Ducky, how are you going to respond to this crowd if you come into this town acting the way you did against this Rough Rider Rashawn? I don't think the crowd will take you lightly here, sir.
Oh, I think the crowd's going to love it. Everywhere I've gone all over the world, the crowd, at first, even in places like the heart of Chicago, they start booing me, but by the end of the match, they're cheering for us. And actually, they're not cheering for me. They're cheering for Duck. Nobody gives a poop about me. It's all Duck. He's the star of the show there. But they'll have a good time. And Robbie, he's in for a heck of a surprise when he meets up with old Duck.
Now, Cooter, you have to understand, Robbie E is a TNA star, has had some belts around his titles. Do you think he'll be all open arms about some of these things he were doing to your past opponent, touching him in the butt, doing some odd things here?
Well, you know, just watching a couple of his most recent matches and that dude that comes out with him, I think there's a lot of touch in the butt that he likes to have.
Yeah, you do know he is a current tag champ. So this guy is coming in with gold
definitely
around his waist. So Bobby,
this guy has skill. The guy has some great skill.
Okay. Now, are you in any way going to use Ducky? And the question is Ducky filled with some sort of weapons or something that can be used, an object that is not allowed inside the ring? Because I've seen you use Ducky sometimes, and Ducky doesn't seem like a safe item.
Well, Duck's my manager. I mean, he's the brains of the operation. He tells me what to do, when to do it. And I just listen, because that guy's brought me to some championships and stuff, and I wouldn't be anywhere in this world of professional wrestling without Duck. So, you know, Duck's a real-life person, and I've tagged with him. We've won tag team championships. He's a great guy. He's flying down a couple days early to get there, check it out, kind of scout out Robbie. I think he's going to go to the gym and watch what he does, but no, there's no funny business with Duck. He's all 100% business. He's real. He's not going to hurt anybody. He's just out to have as much fun as old Cooter is.
And just got to mention to you, Cooter, that there's a canal right next to the venue, like literally just a few minutes, maybe like a minute or two away from the venue. So you might want to watch out, because Ducky might want to leave you behind and hang out with the other ducks. But by the way, how did Ducky come about? How did Ducky find you?
It's kind of a funny story. Well, maybe not. I don't know. But when I was trying to figure out what the heck I'm going to do for being in this business, you know, because everybody you look at, I broke into the business at a time when, you know, it was cool just to be this butt-kicking, mud-hole-stomping type of guy. And it seemed like there was just this assembly line of everybody wanted to be a mass speaker. Everybody wanted to, you know, be the tough, stone-cold type. And nobody was booking more than a few top guys. And I decided that I was going to go a little different direction and kind of came up with this whole gimmick of the hillbilly guy and was at a show and just wasn't getting over with it. Just wasn't getting off. And a buddy of mine said, hey, you know what would be funny? And he was laughing hysterical, and I'm just looking at him like, you're a dummy. And he goes, you get a rubber chicken, and you shove it up the guy's butt, and you call it a cock block. And the crowd will love it. And I mean, he was spitting snot out of his nose laughing so hard. And I looked at him and I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And so I got one and tried it. And on the ride home, about a half-hour ride from where I live, I got 3 bookings just from that one show. People had called and said, hey, this is great. You got to see this guy. And so it's just evolved into being part of me. So it's actually pretty been a blessing in disguise.
It's very interesting, Cooter, and I'm excited to see you along with Ducky again. It's in May at the Florida International University U.S. Century Bank Arena. And you can get your tickets right now. All you have to visit CWF Maximum Force on Facebook. You can purchase your tickets right there. The date is May 10th, Saturday. Make sure you mark it on your calendars. So, Cooter, are you a big fan of Duck Dynasty?
You know, I have never seen that show. I think they're trying to make fun of Duck, so a little angry, but I have never seen that show.
Well, I mean, they do have the whole... you know, I'm so bad with this thing. I don't even see Duck Dynasty, but they've made all their money with the whole item that they call the ducks or whatever. That's how they made all their money with the Duck Dynasty. So you got to watch out here in Miami because there's a lot of ducks down here, and I'm sure Ducky might want to join them, if you know what I mean. So,
oh yeah,
make sure you hold
quite the ladies, man.
Make sure you hold on tight to Ducky before he flies away.
No, that's fine because he'll get us into some of the clubs down there, and Robbie he's going to be sitting on the outside and looking in. You know, did a show not too long ago with Matt Hardy, and Matt said anytime you're around Duck, you can come with me, Cooter. You just sit there and get the scraps. But Duck and Matt went out, had a good time, and the rest of us just sat in the corner and watched. So we're looking forward to it. Whenever you're around Duck, it's hang on to the tail feathers and enjoy the ride.
There you have Cooter Pacifus. And Cooter, when will you be in action soon before the May?
That's a great question. I took some time off to heal up a shoulder injury, so I haven't gotten anything planned so far until May. Just want to heal up so I can hit the rest of the year solid and take as many bookings as possible.
Wonderful. Well, Cooter, I want to thank you so very much for joining us and looking forward to watching you in action against Robbie E. Cooter, Vosifus, and Ducky in action at the CWF Maximum Force event May 10th. Get your tickets right now. You can head on over to Facebook, CWF Maximum Force, and it starts at 5 p.m. They just mentioned that Matt Hardy will be joining Chris Masters, Carlito, and Hurricane Helms in a tag match. So looking forward to that. Is Ducky going to go on the line, or is he going to say goodbye before we hang up?
Duck is already sleeping. That's the thing about that guy. He hits it hard, starts at 4 in the morning, and he's usually in bed by 8. Otherwise, I would have more than happily had him on, but he needs his beauty sleep, he says.
He's a working duck. Well, Cooter, thanks so very much for joining us, man, and look forward to watching you in action many
times
against
me.
Robbie. Have a good night, sir. Thank you, my man.
You too. Thank you.
There you have, folks. Cooter Vosifus and Ducky, who will be wrestling Robbie E. On May 10th. And I'm not kidding about this, Joe. You can check it out for yourself. Look it up on YouTube. Cooter Vosifus walking around with a rubber chicken. I don't make this up, man. I really don't. It is what it is, man. Nonetheless,
that's
moving
funny.
Forward now. As we await for the phone call, Paulo Marquez, who will be hosting an event at, well, CCW actually will be hosting the event. It's called Los Luchadores War Gainesville, Miami. And this is going to be taking place February 15th. It's the War Wrestling Alliance Revolution Lucha Libre Ecuatoriana. So all these wrestlers are coming from Ecuador. And they will be along with the folks from the Main Event Training Center. And that's on February 15th. The event is free. and it's going to be at the Opa-locka Hialeah Flea Market. And for the folks out there and around the United States, this is in Florida. It's a Florida event, and it's an Opa-locka Hialeah Flea Market. And you're going to be able to watch the Guadalupe Brothers, the Regime Elite, Pablo Marquez, and the legendary genocidal, suicidal, homicidal, Sabu, in action for absolutely nothing. All you have to do is, well, you just head out to the flea market and watch a great show for free. So that's going to be great stuff coming out of
When was the last time you saw a wrestling match at a flea market? It's been a long time.
I was actually in one. That was the last time I saw one.
So
and
there
that was
you
in
go.
A match. That was the last time that I saw one. And right now we have the great Pablo Marquez. Pablo, what's up, my man? Welcome to the Roman Show.
It's a pleasure to be here at the Roman Show, as usual. I believe this is my second or third time doing this great event for you guys. But it's I just wanted to, you know, a quick shameless little plug. CCW presents Valentine's Vengeance, a free event at the Opa-locka Hialeah Flea Market. Parking is just $1, featuring the suicidal, genocidal maniac, Sabu. I have four guys coming in from Panama, Gargamo, Nick Romano, Angelus, and Panama Jack Daniels. I also got the mega champion of Ecuador coming down, El Megastar. I have the Elites coming down. I have Rico Casanova coming down. It's going to be a great event, and best of all, it's free. Only CCW could provide. It's going to be a free event. You don't want to miss it, guys.
Pablo, man, that's just absolutely great that you're doing this stuff out there for the wrestling fans, and it's free. I mean, you can't get any better than that. It's a free Valentine's Day courtesy of CCW. And mind you, I got to give you credit, Pablo, because down here in South Florida, we've had our several promotions, but I got to give it to you. CCW has been the most active recently.
CCW is the longest, is the last, we're the last of the breed. Every company of South Florida has come and go with big money, people with no money. But CCW continues to be here providing great, great wrestling for the fans. We have the Main Event Training Center, CCW's premier school here, the only school here in South Florida that provides great training, special seminars, and monthly student shows. We have special seminars, like I said. We had our last show January 4th with Sabu on the card, and big things are coming. So log into ccwevents.com, and things are looking good for 2014.
You know, yeah, you definitely are. You guys are definitely keeping it up there with pro wrestling and the Main Event Training Center, where I've seen several well-known folks like Alberto de Rio who have gone out there and trained. So definitely have a strong backing. Now, Pablo, you yourself, you've gone to Ecuador recently and wrestled. Tell me about the pro wrestling community and competition in Ecuador and in South America in general.
Well, I think, you know, I don't know if there's a lot of pro wrestling in Ecuador. However, there is one company. The name of the company is called WAR, Wrestling Revolution Alliance, and it's and the actual promoter Sebastian is a great. Hello, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
the promoter from Ecuador is a great friend of mine. I just you know, this is my fifth time going there. I just came back from December. They're on the second season of television. They have an actual television show, an actual wrestling school, and you know, they bring in a lot of great stars like Blue Demon, Ricky Banderas. They bring a lot of names. And I think the company's only is gonna continue to grow because you know, he's learning, the guy's learning, and he's he's taking a lot of advice from me, because I'm also a firm believer of, I don't want guys the problem here, I think, with South Florida, and I don't want to mention any names, and I don't want to throw stones at anybody, but you know, I see it all too often of guys here and not only here but everywhere. A lot of guys only see a ring once every 6 months. When it's time for their match, you know, I'm against that. I want guys to train. You know, we train 3-4 times a week here at the school. So when you see a CCW event, you're gonna see guys who want to be better in their craft. You know, not guys that see a ring once every 6 months and think they're a wrestler. They think they know it all. You know, so I think that's a good thing about Ecuador, that they have a school where these guys are training, or they want to get better. You know, they have the money to back it up. So it's gonna be something really, really big for the next few months. It's gonna come.
Now, is this event the one that you're having at the Opa-locka Flea Market? Can people see it online, or is it going to be recorded? How can people outside of Florida see it?
Well, yeah, we haven't gotten to that point yet. But maybe in the future we'll do something like that. But as of now, you know, it's going to be it's just going to be mainly for the south, for the Miami area. The good thing about it is that, you know, the Opa-locka Flea Market is sponsoring 10,000 flyers, so people are going to know about the event. And like I said, you know, Sabu's going to be in town, like I said, all those guys from Panama, and it's a free show, so a free event with Sabu in it, I mean, it's not going to get any better than that.
It can, Pablo. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you here. And look forward to more CCW events, and I look forward to attending that event at the Opa-locka with Sabu. Now, how many matches are going to be on that card?
Oh, we have 7 matches so far, but it could be more. You know, who knows? You know, but one more plug before I let you guys go, guys. It's always a pleasure to have you guys. Always a pleasure to talk to you guys. But if anybody ever wants to become a pro wrestler, you know, they could always like log in at ccwevents.com or look for me, Pablo Marquez, on Facebook at the Main Event Training Center. You know, like I said, we provide great quality training. You know, guys like Alberto Rio, Stevie Richards, Blue Demon, Larry Sharp, Danny Cage, all these great, great performers that have come through here. Jack Swagger, Primo, Epico, they have all come down here and trained with us. Alberto Rio was coming when he was the WWE champion, training with us, taking bumps from my students. I mean, it's not going to get any better than that. So you guys ever want to become a pro wrestler, find me on Facebook or the Main Event Training Center or ccwevents.com, and I'll see you guys in the Opa-locka Flea Market February 15th for that free event with Sabu on the card.
Yes, sir. I can't wait after Valentine's Day. You know how much a boring day that is for guys, but I'm happy that CCW is running an event. That's going to bring a smile to my face. Pablo, thanks so very much, man. Looking forward to the big show. February 15th, Opa-locka Flea Market, absolutely free.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have a great night.
All right, folks,
there you have it. Thank you. Pablo Marquez, CCW, running the event for free. Opa-locka Flea Market. Joe, the reporter, you just can't get any better than that.
A free show? No.
Yeah, free, dude. Free. You can't get any better than that.
Who cares? You got to pay a dollar for the parking, but you're still watching a free wrestling show. And not only
that,
awesome. Sabu is off the card.
Oh, that is so cool. Can't wait to be out there in action. All right, folks. Going to wrap up the show now real quickly, as we have had a lot of fun and a lot of guests and enjoyed it every second of it. Quickly, want to run down through some news before we call it quits, and that is regarding, and you brought this up, some of our producers out here on the Roman show, on CVS's news of stopping the sale of tobacco. Now, CVS is going to lose about $2 million. That's how much in sales that they are going to get rid of. It says here, according to the New York Times, the company estimated that its decision would shave an estimated $2 billion in sales from customers buying cigarettes and other products, including incidental items like gum that shoppers might also purchase. Now, business like, is this a smart move? And that, you know this, Joe, if CVS does this, you know, Walgreens, Walmart, they all have to follow because they all have a pharmacy. And that was the reason why CVS Caremark stated that they were dropping the sale of cigarettes. And it says here, the company's move was yet another sign of its metamorphosis into becoming more of a healthcare provider than a largely retail business, with its stores offering more mini clinics and health advice to aid customers visiting its pharmacies. So the pharmacies currently selling cigarettes, will they follow? I mean, this is a $2 billion that they might be losing. And by the way, that is cool that you're getting rid of tobacco, but you still sell beer. So if you're going to get rid of cigarettes and you want to become like a little mini health clinic and give health advice, stop selling beer and wine. It's only fair, right?
Hey, no more DUIs like, on the road.
Just like tobacco has an issue with health, so does alcohol, and so does beer and wine. So it's only fair that they get rid of it as well. So this could be a trend in business with tobacco. Now, you're a smoker, Joe. Does this in any way affect you, or do you even care?
No, because if they do that, I'll just go to a gas station.
Can't go wrong with that, right? And plus, don't they sell cheaper ones there?
Yes, I do.
All right, moving forward now, we're going to go back to talk some celebrity news. As check this out, Justin Bieber, the guy he just can't get out of the news. TMZ is reporting that before he took off from New Jersey, his plane, it got searched by the U.S. Customs. And get this, Bieber and his gang were smoking marijuana on the plane, and the flight attendant couldn't get them to stop. The pilot complained to smoke, and the cabin was thick. NBC News says the pilot actually had to don a gas mask because it was so bad. Now, TMZ has previously reported that Justin is on a Homeland Security watch list because of two pending criminal cases. Multiple sources connected with Bieber tell TMZ Justin's people called federal offices before the plane took off, and they were informed Justin was on the list. Justin's folks told him before he got on the jet that he would be searched in New Jersey and interrogated. Now, one person who was on the plane 3 hours after it landed says it continued to reek of marijuana. Now, how did they find out about this whole weed? Well, dog sniffing detected the trace amounts of the weed. Justin Bieber just doesn't stop, man. He just doesn't get it. You know, he's got himself in trouble with his whole DUI and, whatever they're carrying, Xanax or whatever the pills he would carry. And
put
the guy just doesn't learn. He doesn't learn. He keeps on putting his foot in mud. The guy just doesn't learn.
Put him in jail. Let him learn the hard way. Put him in jail.
Well, we're going to have to wait because his court arraignment date has been now pushed to March. So he has about a month to get away with
celebrities
it.
Because they got the money, they can do whatever the hell they want.
They got the money. You and me, if that happens to you and me, it'll be a different story. We probably won't be speaking to each other right now. Philip Seymour Hoffman, a great actor, unfortunately passed away this weekend according to reports. It's not been confined, hasn't been 100% secured yet. But he was killed due to an overdose as he was found with a needle in his hand. That is what reports are saying. Now, the autopsy has not revealed anything as it came out inconclusive. Now, TMZ is reporting that Philip Seymour Hoffman confided in alleged dealer that he wanted to kick the heroin addiction. So he was in the move of trying to stop this addiction. And I got to tell you, Joe, Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know, unfortunately lost his life, but the guy was a great actor. I don't know if you got to see the opportunity of watching him in action in the movie Capote, but if you haven't seen that movie, I invite everyone to watch that movie. It is absolutely awesome, and you can see how much of an awesome actor he is. So if you get a chance, watch Capote. It's really, really good. Really good movie, man. Very unfortunate, very, very unfortunate, though, that he lost his life due to a battle with an addiction. And hopefully we can do something like that because we've seen several actors, one of them being none other than, it escapes my mind right now, Joe, but help me out here. He played the Joker.
Say it again?
Help me out here. He played the Joker. Heath Ledger also lost his battle with drug addiction. Several actors have lost their battles with drug addiction, and it's unfortunate. It really truly is, because it's great talent, and it's just being, you know, put to rest because of their addiction. So very sad. Very, very sad. Joe, as now we conclude this episode, February 5th, we'll be right back next week, next Wednesday, talking some more mixed martial arts, some pro wrestling, some news, and anything else. By the way, with the Sochi Olympics taking place this weekend, a lot of the governments have kept an eye on the terrorists. And mind you, CNN has reported earlier today that they are looking very closely at toothpaste, because there could be explosive toothpaste. That's right, explosive toothpaste that these terrorists could be carrying in the plane headed to Russia. They've gone that far, Joe. Explosive toothpaste. What has the world come to, man? They're using freaking toothpaste to blow things up.
That is weird.
You know, that is just unfortunate. But they're keeping a close eye. And it's sad in a way, because it's taking away from the competition that the Olympics is going to provide. And most of the attention has stayed on the whole terrorism. Possibilities of terrorism. And it's pretty sad. It really truly is sad, because, again, you're taking away the limelight from all these competitors that will be competing. Also, the whole Russia being against homosexuality is another factor that comes into play that is taking away the attention from these great athletes that are going to be competing for the next 2 weeks over there in Sochi. But we'll have to see exactly what's going to happen. Well,
mm-hmm.
Joe, the reporter, your final thoughts before we end up the show.
Facebook 10th anniversary.
Hey, Mark Zuckerberg is celebrating 10 years of Facebook. And mind you, he started Facebook?
Videos.
Yeah, the videos are really cool. And mind you, he started Facebook because he just wanted to keep up with people in the past to see if they were fat or not. Look at him. He's now a billionaire. Opened
mm-hmm.
up a company. If only I would have thought of that, right? We wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Nope.
Nonetheless, want to invite all you guys, All Out Fight Shop. Visit the alloutfightshop.com website. It's a great working out clothing line and so much more. You got great stuff. You got hoodies and you got jackal gear and bags, convertible bags, so much more. You got great attire, man. In fact, I'm looking at right now a Hayabusa long sleeve black blue shirt, which is absolutely cool and very needed for your next exercise. They have these really neat Venom Santa Muerte hoodie in black that you can definitely show it off whenever you head out to the next event, mixed martial arts or pro wrestling, wherever the heck you're going to be. You can get this stuff for all free. It's all free shipping in the United States of America. That's alloutfightshop.com. Now, the folks at alloutfightshop.com have been very kind to us and have provided a couple of goodies. So check this out. Follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show, or follow Joe at Joe the Reporter, or myself at RomanDH, and we'll hook you up with that goodie. And what is that goodie? Well, it's a Torque t-shirt courtesy of All Out Fight Shop. That's alloutfightshop.com. Visit them right now to get some great deals on some great merchandise. With that said, thanks very much for joining us February 5th, the episode of The Roman Show. We will catch you next week. Who do we have next week, Joe? Do you know?
Who do we have next week?
All right. Well, next week, who we have is the champion of Shine, Ivelisse. Ivelisse actually was on Tough. I wanted to call it the Ultimate Fighter. But on Tough Enough. Tough Enough. Yes, not Tough, the Ultimate Fighter, but Tough Enough. She competed on Tough Enough, and she was a part of the WWE for a certain short time. She also competes or trains in mixed martial arts, and she is now currently the current holder of Shine. She is the current women's champion of Shine. And she will be on the program next week on the Roman Show. Very beautiful, very talented from Puerto Rico. So make sure you call, ask questions, or you can tweet to us and you can ask it, we'll ask it for you. Next week on the Roman Show, Evelise of Shine. With that being said, have a wonderful evening and make sure you keep visiting the Roman Show's website, RodolphRoman.com, and subscribe to our YouTube channel where soon you will see some more interviews. With that said, have a good night, Joe. We'll catch you next week on the Roman Show.
What's up? This your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Rodolfo Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that, man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Rodolfo Roman. This your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.